after a flurry of good news about Rivian, the electric automaker fails to deliver on its investment targets to earn its local and state tax breaks.
These clawbacks that we've designed protect the taxpayers.
That's Michael Grady with the EDC. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, May 1st. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with Rivian. After failing to meet its capital investment benchmark, Rivian has lost its 2018 tax abatement. GLT's Mary Cullen has more.
The electric vehicle startup will pay over $650,000 in property taxes, most going to Unit 5 schools. Speaking at the McLean County Chamber of Commerce's State of the County event, Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council Vice President and Interim CEO Mike O'Grady says Rivian nearly doubled its employment benchmark. But to qualify for its tax abatement, the startup had to reach a $10 million investment threshold.
And it was really based upon logistics, engineering for some of the parts of the plant just took longer than they anticipated. And it was a pretty good jump. That second year, they had to go to an additional $10 million. And they were $2 or $3 million, but they weren't going to hit the $10 million.
Rivian spokesperson Michael McHale confirmed the plant's equipment procurement process is taking longer than expected, which caused the 2018 benchmark to fall by the wayside. Unit 5 schools will see an additional $389,000 in property tax revenue as a result. This year, O'Grady says Rivian will have to meet a $22 million minimum on capital investment.
And the positive spin of that is the fact that these clawbacks that we've designed protect the taxpayers. If you don't hit the points of your agreement, you're going to have to pay your taxes.
Rivian celebrated two big-name investors this year, $500 million from Ford and $700 million led by Amazon. Rivian spokesperson McHale says the startup is in a very healthy state because of the money, but he failed to comment on whether Rivian will still pursue its local tax breaks in future years, given those recent investments. Rivian plans to build its own electric vehicles in Normal starting next year with an SUV and pickup. It will also make its batteries and skateboard platform on-site. Ford plans to use Rivian's skateboard platform to build an electric vehicle of its own. For The Leadoff, I'm Mary Cullen.
Here's some of the other stories we're following in the GLT newsroom. The debate over legalizing marijuana in Illinois has gone on for months, but with just 5 weeks left in the legislative session, official language for the proposal has yet to be made public. Governor J.B. Pritzker has just told reporters it should be coming any day now. And several Illinois lawmakers, plus at least one public radio station in Champaign-Urbana, have received an anonymous letter threatening everyone in line to receive state-funded pensions. The death threat specifically mentions public school teachers. State police have been notified. Find these stories and more right now at WGLT.org. Our week-long series, The State of Cannabis, continues today during GLT's Sound Ideas at noon and 6 p.m. From WSIU and Illinois Newsroom in Carbondale, Steph Whiteside explains how some patients are considering marijuana as an alternative to opioids.
Since February, patients in Illinois have been able to swap their opioid prescriptions for marijuana, and many are doing just that.
We have almost 900 patients enrolled in the program now, and over 300 physicians who have created a user account and submitted a physician certification for a patient.
Connie Muller-Moody works on medical cannabis at the Illinois Department of Public Health. The program is open to any patient who has a prescription for opioid medications like OxyContin. The state is still gathering statistics on why patients are participating, but nationwide, chronic pain is the most common reason people turn to medical marijuana, and for some people, pot is more appealing than powerful opioids. Gavin Glass is a student at Southern Illinois University who has suffered from back and nerve pain since he was in high school. He was barely able to get through his classes, he said, and struggled to make it through the day.
I was never actually on any opioids, but they were certainly recommended to me.
He says medical marijuana has made a huge improvement in his life. His joints stopped hurting and he has more energy. But not everyone is sold on the benefits of marijuana, and because the federal government limits research on it, the impact is still uncertain.
The problem is that the medical marijuana is a lot of anecdotal evidence. There's not a lot of true scientific studies out there with double-blind studies or any scientific background whatsoever.
Bill McCreary is a retired pharmacist and member of the Center for Rural Health at Southern Illinois University. He supports the medical marijuana program, and he says opioids carry greater risks than the chemical components of pot.
The long-term effects of opioids are, at this point, we think much more serious than long-term effects of cannabinoids and THC.
Marijuana has fewer side effects and overdoses. In 2017, there were more than 2,000 opioid-related deaths in Illinois. That doesn't mean patients can't overdose on marijuana. They can, though it's extremely unlikely for adults. And even if it happens, it's unlikely to result in death.
With opioids, we know that the neural functioning of the brain is actually altered, and it doesn't come back.
Dr. Peter Grinspoon is a physician in Massachusetts, where medical marijuana has been legal since 2012. He believes it's effective, especially for patients who need lifelong pain management.
Your life is so much better on cannabis, which doesn't take anything away from you, than it is on opiates, which sort of sucks the life out of you.
But Grinspoon also sees a role for regulation, particularly when it comes to how medical marijuana is packaged and sold. He's especially cautious about edibles that can appeal to children who are vulnerable to overdosing.
If marijuana or cannabis is a medicine, then don't put it in something that tastes good. You wouldn't put ibuprofen in a gummy bear. Why would you put cannabis in a gummy bear? A four-year-old kid or a dog wouldn't know the difference, and they'll eat the whole bag.
The Illinois program requires doctors have an existing relationship with the patient requesting marijuana, in part so these concerns can be discussed. For patients like Gavin, it's made a huge difference.
Because I had felt like I had gotten my life back again, and I felt comfortable doing things because I wasn't in pain all the time.
The Alternatives to Opioids program will expire in June of 2020 unless it's extended by the state legislature. Steph Whiteside, Illinois Newsroom.
Our reporting on the state of cannabis continues during Sound Ideas at noon at 6 today on GLT. Before we let you go, there's about to be a whole bunch of new faces on the Bloomington City Council. Four new aldermen will be sworn in tonight at 6 p.m. They're Donna Boland, Julie Emig, Jen Carrillo, and Jeff Crable. All of them won seats in the April 2nd election. I'm Ryan Denham. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. If you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast to get it delivered to your device every morning. You can also add the Leadoff skill to your flash briefing on your Alexa-enabled smart speaker. Support for GLT as a Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.